Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk with you this morning about the manifested presence of God. I believe we're moving more and more into that place. We're going to experience more and more of the manifested presence of God. Amen? Now let's settle something, okay? The presence of God is in this room. It was here before you got here, and it'll be here when we go home. Amen? But what the church is about, or the ecclesia, those that are rising up, it's about the manifested presence of God. Now, think about this. In this room, there is air, right? But if we brought a fan out, I can actually feel every once in a while under some of these vents, I can feel just a little bit of movement of air. That is the manifested presence of air when you begin to feel. And God is looking for us to focus in on his manifested presence. Anybody besides me come to understand that what you focus on is what God does? I could turn this meeting into a healing meeting right now. All I got to do is start pulling on the heart of God. Anybody here got pain in your body? Go that way. And God begins to do. Or we could turn it into the prophetic. Or we could turn it into just a time of encouragement. See, what you focus on is what God does. Now, I don't want to give license to the thought that we can just turn God anyway. But when you listen to them, when you delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37:4, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. That word delight there is the word pliable. Anybody here besides me love Play-Doh? As a kid, I just loved Play-Doh. I see Josh held his hand up back there. Many kids that they got, they probably got tons of Play-Doh at their house. But anyway, with it, I love Play-Doh. But when Play-Doh is concealed and it stays moist, you can form it and you can make things. And, that's what the word delight means, to be pliable or to be contrite, to be more. So God can reach in. See, it's about God reaching in. You're here today. You know why you're here today? Because you desired to come here today. Where did that desire come? I believe because you delighted yourself in the Lord, he reached in and put that desire. Right now, I'm wanting to see the Mid-South transformed. Isn't it going to be powerful when we get some transformation like going on down in Guatemala? The crop, they used to barely make one crop a year. Now they're harvesting three crops a year. The vegetables there are they got carrots this big around. Let me just tell you, the people that own the land will rent their land to Christians and it'll start being bountiful, and then they'll take it away from them and try to plant it themselves, and then it doesn't produce. God honors covenant, and he's looking for covenant people that will become the manifested presence of God. Isaiah 8:18 says this, as for you and your children, you are for signs and wonders. Okay, I got news for you. Wapella, you and this little princess right here, you are a sign and wonder. This woman of God, she's a sign and a wonder. Amen. Nancy is a sign and wonder. When they see you, I want to tell you something. A sign and a wonder is just a sign that makes you wonder. When people see you, they ought to wonder. Listen, can I tell you one of the greatest signs and wonders in my life? I'm not trying to play on her. Is this woman of God right here, my daughter? The strength of her relationship with the Lord after losing her husband. With that, I've had some people, say, are you sure she's just not in denial? She seems so strong. No, she's not in denial. Yeah, there's times she hurts. Lord, I miss him. I know I don't miss him as much as her, but he was my friend. And he knew more about guns and motorcycles than I did. And I ain't got no go-to person now. It's like, who to ask this stuff, with that. But what I'm trying to tell you need to become a sign to make people wonder. People wonder all the time about us. How do we do this? How do, you know, people write me all the time. I saw where you were driving in the other night, late at night. How do you do that? Aren't you 62? Listen, passion is a motivator. When you are truly passionate for the things of God, I've got news for you. You're not going to grow weary in well-doing. You're going to press through. You're going to come to the other side. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching what I'm preaching today. Because I want you to leave here so full of God today, you go explode on your waitress. Milton Green used to tell us this. I haven't said this in a long time. Milton would say he had to get a bit of a rough voice. He said, you just need get full of God and slosh over on people. I want you so full of God today, you're going to slosh over on somebody. You're going to encourage them. Go to Isaiah 48, verse 6. It says, you have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? Let me just share something with you. How many of you want to become a better evangelist? The Word tells every one of us in this room, me included, do the work of an evangelist. Declare the works of God. Tell him about how he's been good to you. I haven't finished it up with y'all. Y'all still available, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that? Y'all still open with that? Alan's saying yeah, and Tina's going, what's he talking about? But anyway, that's usually the way it works in my house too. But anyway, they're going to be ministering and sharing. I want Alan to share his testimony. I sat the other day in a restaurant with them, and he cried, and I cried, and his tears stirred my tears. And with that, because I want to tell you something. You want to know the goodness of God? You hear this man's testimony and Tina's testimony about it. I mean, their first year of marriage and with that. Why? Let me just tell you, because the goodness of God is the good news. Amen? It's not about that this nation going out. Listen, God's not going to judge this nation in the manner they're talking about. There's enough righteous people in this room to turn that nonsense. And they're all across. There's an awakening going on right now like you've never seen before. Jennifer LeClaire and them and the young revivalists and what's going on, I'm telling you, it's powerful. Get your eyes off of this nonsense. Get your eyes on God. He is doing more than you can ever believe. Let me just share with you. Friday night at Mount Magazine was over the top. Chris reminded me of one time, and he said he thought compared. I don't necessarily agree with him. I don't think it does. Friday night was the most prophetic meeting I've ever been in my life. I'm telling you, the prophetic, when it came, it was like a fire hose. I'm just telling you, it was just this person prophesying and that person prophesying. And it was, can I tell you what? There wasn't one bit of bad news. Sound like a God meeting to me. See, faith will cause it. But it says there, you've heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I've made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course, I knew them. Now, let me tell you the basis of manifesting the presence of God. Okay? You've got to settle it in your heart that God is still a creator. When he made the heaven and the earth, when he created man, when he raised Jesus, his son, from the dead, he did not give up his power. On the heels of that, point number B is the devil can't create anything. Amen? Let me just tell you, he can't even put a lying symptom in your body until he first gets into your mind to think about it. In 1989, I was headed to Romania. And I was with David Summerall, Lester Summerall's nephew, in a men's retreat down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And the doctors had told me, I would have been, help me figure out real quick, I'd have been 45 then? No, I wouldn't have been 45, or would have. I was born in 53, however old I was. But anyway, doctors had told me I wouldn't live to be 40 years old because of the damage of speed had done to my heart. But I had gotten given a new heart through a prophetic word, but I fought all night with lying symptoms of a heart attack. I just had a physical. Doctors had said everything was fine. Everything I knew, and I overcome those symptoms, and all of the pain in my chest left. Every bit of, can I tell you what? If I would have bought into that, I was with my dad when he had 3 heart attacks. He had 5 in his life, stress and alcohol induced. But if I would have bought into those lying symptoms, then I believe they could take root inside of me, and what was simply a lying symptom could become a manifestation. Can I just tell you, a lot of people today are sick because they didn't overcome the assignment of lying symptoms. Is this helping? I want you healthy. I want you overcoming. I want you more than a conqueror. You know why? Because that's what he wrote in your book, in your scroll. Man, wouldn't you love to read that scroll? I told God the other day. You know, a group of our people are leaving on Tuesday, going down, Vicki and Jeanette and several are going down to a Sears conference about learning how to see and operate in the courtroom of heaven. Man, they're not going to be the same when they get back. I'm just telling you, they're coming back, you know, with it because, but I had an experience a few months ago where some seers out of South Africa went in the courtroom of heaven and they saw an entity which had paralyzed me, and they saw things, and they saw that this entity, when he paralyzed me at 6 years of age, took half my scroll. Can I just be me for a minute? If all that God has accomplished through me in 30 years of full-time ministry this year with a half a scroll, what can be ahead? And that's not boastful, that's just truthful, okay? And so they saw, and they went in, and they pled my case, and Jesus did, my lawyer, my advocate, and that entity gave me back the other part of my scroll. And can I tell you what? There has been an assignment against me to steal my peace. It stopped that day. We've had someone sending tormenting emails. We had to block them on our phone. I mean, for some time now, from that day to now, I've never received an email at all. In fact, the person lived in this area. They've now moved with that to another area. Why? Because we went in and closed that door. And it all had to do with sin of my ancestors. I'm Cherokee. My great, great, great grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee preacher. And her ancestors had did unrighteous land covenant and worshiped idol. And I simply, when they saw this in the courtrooms of heaven, I repented for it. And when it did, that entity walked over and handed me the rest of my scroll. What are you saying? It's about getting in alignment for the manifested presence of God to cause you to become a sign that's going to make people wonder. I had a dream about you, sir. We're going to get together and have that meal. You're probably one of the only men I know is busier than I am, but I had a dream about you. And I'm just telling you, God has got his hand on you. You're right where you're supposed to be. There's some great things that are coming. There's a solidness in you. But in that dream, I saw God giving you a whole new set of directives. I'm telling you, there's some new orders coming to you. There's some new things that are happening that's going to happen. And I had a dream about him, but I believe it's about you. Ira, I believe it's about you. Jeanette, there's greater things. Everything that's going on right now is God just fashioning you and getting you ready for something greater. Amen? Just learn to move. But see, manifested presence. What is that? Did I share this last week? It's just on my heart again. But you know, when we saw the little Navajo boy raised from the dead, I mean, can I tell you, I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel faith. I remember standing there. I knew Mike and Sarah Little. And their little boy was 3 years old, Marcus, and he had died, and his father had driven over 2 hours to come to where we were preaching under a tent among the Navajo and brought him, carried him in on his arms like this. It looked like if somebody would lay their coat across my arms. I mean, he was limp. And we began to pray, and God raised him from the dead. What I want you to understand, that was the manifested presence of God. That was the manifest. Listen, Paul Hungi Cho, when his son and other children were poisoned, he says in his book, The Fourth Dimension, he had to go before the Lord and repent for over 8 hours for unforgiveness towards other ministers and things like that. What I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to become a sign that will make people wonder, you've got to live in a constant state of repentance. You've got to live in a constant state of surrender. You've got to live in a constant state of, God, if I need to change, I'm willing to change, because you're not, I'm telling you, we're moving into a time that you might not have 8 hours to get it right with God to see your child raised from the dead. Are you hearing me? We're going to raise up an army here, because you are the army of God. Now let me balance that pastorally. We're looking to grow a family here that will become an army. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you, it wasn't a good thing, but the Hatfields were a family. The McCoys were a family. I'm not in agreement with their war, but what I'm talking about, it was family that went to war together. And God is looking for a house to where a family will be healthy and have community, but they know how to receive their marching orders. Listen, we need some of you to get in the lives of some of our government officials. The new county school superintendent. I don't know. That wasn't my choice. I'm just going to say it that way. But they are in that position, and I'm going to be fully supportive. I'm trying to get an email now or a cell number. I want them to know I'm going to pray just as hard for them. I'm with it because we support them. But I'm asking God to woo their heart. Somewhere, listen, what went on in Brandon, Mississippi was a wonderful thing. You know, where they blocked the, couldn't even play the, how great thou art. Is that, what song was it? Is that it? Huh? Yes, how great thou art. Not the words, they couldn't play the music. Don't get me on the judge. Okay? They couldn't play the music. How many of you know that's nonsense? Listen, most every hymn that Charles Wesley wrote was a bar song that he changed the words to. His brother John Wesley noticed that nobody was listening to their music. And he told his brother Charles, he said, can't you take the tune that they're singing to and put some godly words to it? And when these men, they would go to the factories and the coal mines, and when they came out of work, they heard music that they recognized, but they heard different words, and they started seeing people converted. That was a sign that made those men wonder. And they heard it. I preached for 1 month years ago in Dyersburg, Tennessee, on the Eagles music. We had 24 people that came and visited City Gate in Dyersburg who said they'd never been to church in their life. And I think it was like 9 of them got born again. Read the words of the Eagles' music, Learn to Be Still. It's completely kingdom. Anybody know what their last big album that they came out of, the name of it? The Long Road Out of Eden. Maybe they've got another one since then, but one of them when they did their regrouping. With it. Why? Listen, if God can prophesy through a donkey, he can write lyrics through a rock group that will speak to this nation. I just got to hit this. If you're going to manifest the presence of God, if you're going to become the manifested presence of God, you got to move out of right and wrong thinking. Do you know that the word secular was never used until Socrates and Plato and Augustine picked it up? We're mostly adults here. Out of Augustine preached that any intimacy between a husband and wife other than procreation was sin. I just gave you good cause to understand he's a heretic. Come on. But he came up with this thing, secular. See, there is not secular music and there's not sacred music. There's music that produces life. And there's music that produces death. I know choruses that produce death. I know hymns that are unscriptural. They're not kingdom. The thing I love about Charles Wesley's writing, he was kingdom. He didn't write from defeatism. Years ago in my Pentecostal upbringing, what was that song they sang, Susan, that I can't remember anymore now. But it was all about, get us out of here, Lord. Let the rapture come now. Let the rest of the world go to hell in a handbag. That's not good news. Good news is we're going to see more born again into the kingdom and become followers of Jesus between now and when this second coming comes than we've ever seen before. 1 million Muslims a month are being born again right now. And that excites me. Because back in the 80s, God told me, he said, one day the Muslims are going to provoke the Jews to jealousy. I believe those born, you know how most of them? Jesus walking into the room. We need that to happen with our Jewish friends. I love the Jews. I pray for the Jews. But they need to be born again. They need an experience with God, a presence of God to come. Are you hearing me? He said there that he's about to do a new thing. I've made you hear these things from now or with it. They are created now and not from the beginning. I've got news for you. God has got some creation that's about to take place like you've never seen before. I prophesied into a man the other night in West Point, Mississippi. I saw this contract. I didn't call it a contract. I said a business deal coming. Matt, you were there. So who else was with me that night? Susan was there. I saw it, and the man told me afterward. He said, well, I believe that word's God, but I've already signed that contract. I signed a $1 billion contract a month ago. $1 billion. I thought, wow, I sure thought I saw a business deal coming. That was on Saturday night. Monday, I left Thomas and Kathy's house. Susan and I coming back, and I get a text from a number I didn't know. And they said, we need to tell you something. It just happened. And this is so-and-so. His name was Thomas King, Thomas King's daughter. And I said, okay, with it. And they got me on the phone. They said, you know, when we bid that $1 billion contract, there was another contract we really wanted because we'd make more profit on it. And we got turned down. We didn't get it. They just called us 10 minutes ago and said, we've reconsidered your contract. And we grant it for $309 million. Why? Because God, in his grace, showed me something coming, and I spoke it into them, and they grabbed it in faith, and it's now coming to pass. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got so many things going on around us about wealth, and I'm not talking about just wealth transfer to Susan. I believe we're going to get our portion, but got news for you. You're going to get your portion. Somebody... I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to tell you, I believe I have a word from heaven that I'm going to, that this house and Sue and I are going to come into enough money that one day we're going to pay off the bills of everyone who are tithing, loyal, committed shareholders in the vision here. Look at your neighbor and say, that can be you. And someone wrote me, and you're here. I'm not picking on you. They're worried about people just coming for that reason. God will separate those selfish hearts. I'm not worried about that a bit. God is a threshing. This is a threshing 4 year. He's separating the wheat and the chaff this year. I'm telling you, and listen to me. I'm finna prophesy. Some of your friends ain't going to make it. And don't you let them drag you back to where they are. Let them go and pray for them and love them from afar. But don't go back and try to drag somebody across the goal line if you don't have a word from heaven. Well, I'm in the beginning of my new book, I said my greatest strength is I'm relational. But my greatest weakness is I'm relational. I want to hold on to relationship past the point and when it reaches to a place of diminishing returns because they don't want to change. I've got news for you. Some people don't want to change. They just want you, it's going to be okay, Brother Dan. You know, let me tell you the word of the Lord for most people. Run, Forrest, run. What are you talking about? If they'll just take off running in their destiny, the shackles of those polio braces will break off of them and they'll run right into their healing. I'm telling you, that's prophetic. But they just want to camp out. Well, you know, I was in a class of 100 and I'm the only one who had polio. I'm not trying. Listen, we grew up with a guy that had polio. And wore braces all his life. I mean, Susan and I did. And it, you know what? It, because he was weaker and everything. It made him mean. Oh, he was one of the meanest boys I grew up with. Do you know that the epistles were written before the Gospels? Written into print. There has to be some. I mean, I've been asking God about that when I discovered it. I don't understand it. See, many people keep traditions, but how many people keep the faith? Any of it, you know, I did this last Sunday. I'm going to do it again. Do this. Put your hands together. Just like this. Okay? Now, pretty comfortable, isn't it? Now, switch it the other way. Pretty awkward, isn't it? That's just a learned behavior. You know what learned behaviors become? Traditions that make the Word of God of none effect. You know one of the biggest complaints with people that visit this church and don't stick around? It's because they say that it's no order here. Now, let me just share with you. I've been on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But what it actually says in the original text is much better. It says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Now, how many of you know every blood-bought church in this Mid-South, Holy Spirit's there today? But how many of those blood-bought churches, the Spirit Lord? You know what? What's going to happen one day when I'm preaching just like this, and Deborah Russell looked at me and said, Apostle, I got the rest of this word. You know what we're going to do? We're going to yield to it. Or Sylvia. Or Everett. Or we'd be scary to let John. Or Jonathan. He's my buddy. I get to pick on him. See, do you know that that's what God wants? He wants us to be able to yield to what Holy Spirit. You know, right now the trend is shorter and shorter and shorter services. That's the trend. Now, I don't want to hold you here if something's not happening. But if something's happening, I mean, we went on to, what time we quit that night? 10:30 up in Mount Magazine? And let me just tell you one of the things the Lord spoke that night. He loaded the magazine of Arkansas for a cannon shot that's going to be heard across this nation. Man, I like that. I mean, it's like, woo! Because that mountain was named Magazine because one of the French explorers heard a rock slide, and what he said, it sounded like the loading of a magazine of a weapon. And so God spoke this the other night. Do what? Yeah, the explosion of the magazine. How many of you know it's always wise if you're going against an enemy to have your weapon loaded? You know, someone came to me the other day and said, I want you to come in agreement. I'm believing for this. I said, what scripture are you standing on? I didn't know this at the time, but if I had to go back to that person and talk to him again, I'm going to say, what scripture have you got in your magazine? What are you loaded with? Listen, you're not standing in faith unless you got a scripture you're standing on. By his stripes, I'm healed. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. What scripture? You know, we haven't done it in a long time. But I used to come home, especially when I traveled all the time and money would be a little tight. One time this woman of God did that. She put it on the head of the bed upside down so I could read it like this. You remember that? Taped to the head. Scriptures about prosperity. I mean, she had them on the mirror. She had them, you know, even in the bathroom where when you were in sitting position, you could read. I mean, there were, with it. I'm telling you. And those scriptures got in you and you started declaring them and you became a loaded magazine. And you know what happened? God manifested his presence. Are you hearing me? Let's talk just a little bit about the manifested presence. See, a faith affirms the invisible as it is reality. Can I tell you what? Every Sunday when I preach here, I'm preaching to 300 or more people. I came up here to this building the other day, and there wasn't a person here, and I started prophesying. I said, James, you ain't here yet, but you're coming. I said, Sally, you're coming. I said, Loretta, you're coming. I just began to prophesy to the seats, and I said, you're destined to come here. You ain't found this place yet. Maybe you're a little bit like Jerry Berry. You're still driving through the parking lot. How many times you come here and what didn't have the courage to come in yet?
At least five times.
Sit out in the parking lot. He had heard that we were handling snakes and floating people. All right? And that, I don't know if that's what he heard. That's what they tell in Dyersburg, that we used to float people. The girl at Kroger's told me that one time. She didn't know I was a pastor. Invited her to church. She said, "Oh, I've heard about that church." Said they float people. Said they bring everybody at the front and they just float up in the air at the front. Man, we could grow a big church. We could do that, couldn't we? Isn't it amazing? I mean, it just amazes me. Faith affirms the invisible as though it's reality. Let me just tell you, when you come to faith, now listen to me. Who's got a word here God spoke to you about something that hadn't come to pass yet? Tina, tell me that word. Just stand up where we can hear it. Yeah. Can we come in agreement with that? But let me just share with you. Here's the reason I did that. See, when God spoke that to them, faith came to them. Right? But how many of you understand there's a journey till they come to faith in the Word? Now, I heard faith in her. But I'm just telling you, what happened is when God gives you a word that you're going to do something, the enemy brings out every gun he's got to try to discourage you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to get your mind on you're a victim. He wants to get your mind on this is not going to happen. Did I really hear God? But let me just tell you, when God speaks to you, faith comes to you. But there's a journey till you come to faith. And when you come to faith, I want to tell you, you're more than a conqueror. Let me paint you a sad picture. Jonathan, son of Saul, went out into the wilderness where David was hid out, sleeping in a hollow log. And he said, "David, you're going to be the next king, and I'm going to stand at your right hand." I know he was prophesying because the culture of the land said Jonathan was the rightful heir to Saul's kingdom. But then the scripture says something very sad. And Jonathan left David and returned to his father's house. Let me tell you, in his father's house, he had a feathered bed. Can I just bring it out? In his father's house, the services were exactly an hour long. In his father's house, the chairs were more comfortable. In his father's house, it was that oozy-goozy, warm and fuzzy pastoral. I'm not picking on the pastoral. We need it. But I want to tell you, if you oozy-goozy, warm and fuzzy your children, they won't grow up to be responsible. There's a big sign between Little Rock and Memphis that says, "Spare the rod and spoil your child." But our government tells us we're breaking the law if we do that. Anybody know who Michael Reagan is? President Reagan's son, I think he's adopted even. I believe I'm right on the story. And, he went to Canada and disciplined one of his children, and one of the security guards for the prime minister put him aside and said, "You can't do this in Canada." He said, "Oh, I can. I'm their parent." He said, "Well, if you do it again, we're going to arrest you." And he said, "Well, you better get your jail ready." He said, "Because if I act up again, I'm going to wear them out." See, we're giving up what we need to take back. The people of Brandon, how long have I been prophesying? 25 years or more, that when they tell us we can't do something, we need to stand up and do it anyway. And the people of Brandon did that recently. They stood up and began to sing. Let me tell you something. If your children go to public school and they won't stand up in class and pray, I'll go with you to bail them out. But I don't want my child to be arrested. They might be around. No, they might win that person in that cell with them. Come on, I know I'm being radical, but I'm trying to get you to think. I want you to understand the other side of the black door that this administration and the devil is sitting in front of us is liberty and freedom. But are you willing to trust him with all of your heart? Are you willing to say, "I'm not going to take a bullet of mercy through my forehead. I'm going to see you. I don't care if there's wild dogs the other side of that door. I might just be able to outrun them." Manifested presence. Are you hearing me? I don't know where I'm preaching good, but I'm having a good time preaching. Paul said, I think myself happy. Listen, I preach myself happy. God, I'm preaching to me. I'm radical about seeing this nation change. I'm radical. And can I share something? Can I just admonish you just for a moment out of love? Some of you don't realize how important these meetings in Arkansas are for your state, whether you're from Tennessee or your state, whether you're from Mississippi or whether you're from Alabama. You don't realize how you'd be going to these meetings. I'm not trying to get the numbers up. We need your faith. We need boots on the ground. These meetings, the next one's at Lake Village, Arkansas, September the 25th. That's just across from Greenville. Tina, it's going to be a major one because Greenville is a main artery of where that human trafficking takes place. And I'm telling you, I'm going to prophesy it again. They're moving these people. It's not, and I always want to say girls, but it's not just girls. They're moving them in fancy horse trailers with living quarters in them. I have seen this three times in the spirit now. And you need to set your sensitivity when you see these big fancy horse trailer pulled by these big fancy trucks. You need to listen. You see one parked in a truck stop or a rest area, just get beside it. See if you hear any sound inside it. I'm telling you, it's available to free these people if we'll do our job.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I just read an article where a truck driver saw somebody's hand in a window of a motorhome going down the road and knew that something wasn't right, and the motorhome pulled in the rest there, and he did. And when the man went into the bathroom, he's up beside and said, "Are you okay in there?" He said, "No, I'm being held captive," and he got this girl set free. You know what? But let me tell you how the fearful thing. Well, he could have been shot. He might have been hurt. Yeah, I mean, you know, get back up if you need to, but for God's sake, do something to free people. You know, we talk about the abomination of slavery that was such a scourge upon this nation, but there are more people enslaved today than what the slavery of this nation was at one time through all of this human trafficking and ungodly things that take place. Isaiah 48:3, declare, there in that word, and let me go back and read it to you. Let me find the scripture. Declare means to bring something forward. God has already created it, and we by our declaration will bring it forth. Let me close with this. Back in the 90s, I was sitting out on our deck where we lived. I loved the sun. I was just communing with God. I was about to head to Arizona to do a prophetic conference. And the Lord spoke to me something. He said, I've called you to be a third day prophet. And this was late 90s, maybe as much as early 2000. And I said, God, that's great. What is one? You know, we need to understand. And he said, first and second day prophets. And can I change that to people? You know, he said to me, prophets, because he was being, first and second day people speak about things that are coming. But third day people speak about the things that are coming as though they are, and by their declaration it will be. That's what he said to me. Help me, Lord. Job, I just went blank on the scripture, said 28:20, is it? It said, declare a thing. I might have the scripture on. Declare a thing and it'll be established. We got to start declaring. Human trafficking going to stop. We got our schools are going to get better. Our children are going to pray in them. In God We Trust is going to be hung in every classroom. We need to declare these things with that. We don't need to declare them like they're going to happen one day. We need to declare them like it's going on right now. And when we do that, God's going to take the words and he's going to cause you to manifest his presence. Man, I want to tell an experience I had. I mean, a long time ago. I came out of the Navajo Indian Reservation, and I had a church in Albuquerque like for me to preach. When I came through there and I stopped, Eddie Howard was the pastor. And I was preaching one day, and the Lord said to me, it was probably just about as many people here today. And the Lord said, I want you to just blow across the congregation. And so I just stopped and I said, everybody just close your eyes. Everybody's sitting down. Nobody's standing up. And I just took the mic and held it right up against me. I just went. True story. every man, woman, and child in that congregation fell under the power of God. A little baby, probably about the size of your daughter, maybe a little bit younger, about when we first met her, just fell over in a chair right beside. And for 11 minutes, I stood there. I was the only conscious, aware person in the whole room. And I want to tell you, this is what Eddie Howard, the pastor, told me later. He said, I don't know what took place in that period of time, but he said, it brought the most significant shift we'd ever had as a church. He said, we started growing. He said, the people that were lukewarm got on fire. The people that were half committed got committed. He said, God did something. I'll be honest with you. I stood there for 11 minutes. I didn't even know back then that 11 was the number of transition. But I remember, you've heard me tell this story. It was 11 minutes on. Those days I wore a watch all the time. And it was for 11 minutes. I'm here to tell you that those kind of things are going to happen when our children in classrooms. They're going to happen in business places. That job's coming. Man, I mean, I don't know what it is with mine and your heart, but we connected last week, and I'm praying. I mean, I am burdened for your job. I'm telling you, keep knocking on doors. It's coming. Anybody, what do you do again? IT. Anybody know where he might find an IT job? He needs an IT job tomorrow. And I'm going to vouch for his character. Okay? Because God told me he was okay. When God tells you somebody's okay, you can vouch for their character. Listen, if they wanted a recommendation, I'm able to give that recommendation. Why? Because God has spoke to me that he'll be faithful to this job to provide for his house and provide for his children. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you. Deborah, when this young man asked for prayer today, something shifted. I'm just telling you. What's your name, son? John? I'm telling you, something happened when he reached out in faith today and people gathered around him. Not just for him. I'm talking about for a family. I don't know what it's going to look like, but God did something a while ago. It's powerful. See, we need to declare. We need to bring it forward. Isaiah 48:6 says, you've heard, see all this. Will you not declare it? I've made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things you did not know them. If you have the right mindset, if you have the right decoration, and I'm not talking about a perfect decoration, but a heart of decoration, God's going to honor that. See all this. How many of you are ready to see it? I'm ready for that Iraqi veteran or Afghanistan veteran come in here with a limb blown off and bam, he's got a new leg. I just think revival might follow that. Amen? It didn't say that believers would follow after signs and wonders. It said signs and wonders would follow the believers. You know, would it even be better? I think it'd be great. Some Iraqi veteran going, you know, his wife driving him maybe down the road in their Suburban or their minivan is set up for him and everything. And just when he passes by 7140, he gets well. I mean, come on, I'm trying to help you see something. I mean, couldn't the president, if men plowing in Illinois behind a mule can fall into a trance, under the power of God, when Maria Woodworth Eder was preaching in St. Louis, if that can happen back then, this is documented. Why can't people start falling under the power of God when they pass past the houses, the buildings where the house of God meets? We got to get radical in our believism. I'm not believing for God to get a bunch of people at the front and slay them in the spirit so they can get up the same way they went down. I'm believing for God to empower us to be his manifested presence so we can go forth today. Today, I don't know whether you're going to Lost Pizza, La Hacienda, Newt's, or where you're going to eat, but you need to release something on the people that's around you. And you can do it just so simple. You can bless them. You can tell how valuable they are. You can encourage them. I've never seen people so disillusioned and depressed. Listen. I have a friend that called me yesterday. I didn't have any idea. We've not been close in recent years just because of business. And he's been through a battle of depression. He was telling me about a minister, a powerful minister. I mean, it's just a powerful with it. But he was sharing these things with me. There are people all around you that you're working with that are suicidal, that are depressed. It's getting down on our younger generation. That's why they're cutting themselves. That's why they're harming themselves. Because this generational curse is being handed down. And I'm telling you, as the manifested presence of God, can stop it. It ain't going, please, it's not going to happen when we assemble on Sunday. You're to get, I hope you're getting tanked up today. Amen. 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 Those couple of days before the Mount Magazine meeting, Susan and I just got tanked up. We just got in the presence of God. We rode 6 hours on Thursday praying. We rode the whole perimeter of Mount Magazine and prayed. I prayed in the Holy Ghost the whole time. On our motor. I mean, I pray for 5 or 6 hours. Now, I will close. It's 12 o'clock. I want you to hear me. We went to where Bob Jones was born. The prophet Bob Jones. The seer. When he was 7 years old in a place called Gravely, Arkansas. I mean, it is so small, you don't even have to blink to miss it. I mean, all the stores have closed up in town. There is nothing there. We get a text on Sunday night from one of our ministers, and they said there's something about Bob Jones being in the vicinity of Mount Magazine. I looked it up. I mean, we were watching some TV and resting a little bit last Sunday night, and I Googled it on my phone, and I said. And then the first thing I did was I saw it was close to Mount Magazine. Then I GPS'd it. It was 48.1 tenths miles from it. Let me get the word of God right here. I want to read to you Psalms 48:1 in the first part of 2. And this is what my eyes fell upon. While I'm looking this up, y'all say a prayer because I'm going to schedule this week with a... eye doctor in Dyersburg, best price that I've found. Y'all pray for us. $2,200. They're going to do my cataract surgery. I've prayed. I believe God, but it hasn't happened. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the next best thing because I'm really getting to where, in fact, I'm not even going to be able to see it. Somebody read Psalms 48:1, verse part of 2 for me. Has somebody got it there? Holy mountain. Now read the first part of verse 2. Beautiful in elevation. Mount Magazine is the mountain. It's the highest point of elevation in Arkansas. Is with that. Bob Jones's home was our hometown was 48.1 miles is what the GPS said. We go there. I'm telling you, it's just so much confirmation. Let me just speak this over you. God is renewing a seer's mantle to the state of Arkansas and to this nation. That's you. You're going to start seeing in a greater capacity than you've ever seen. I'm just telling you, I believe the team of people that are going to Waxahachie this week, you're going to come back and impart it, Vicki and Jeanette. And I'm trying, Dodie's going and others that are going. Teresa's going. With it. Those that are going to this very small conference, it filled up overnight. You might be wondering why you hadn't heard much about it, because it was full, you know, with it. Susan and I were going, but we're staying home. I just felt like I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to be preaching the following Sunday in Houston. I just didn't feel that it was right for us to go, and so I canceled all of it. Part of it has to do with my mom. To be truthful with. But what I want you to catch, there's a greater seer and all. This nation used to be a seer nation. More inventions. More creativity. More evangelism. More world missions came out of this nation. I mean, I'm amazed. I was thinking the other day, Jeanette and her team were just in a place called White Post, Arizona. She took a picture of a little church. I don't know whether they had told her or not. I went there. There was nothing there except some steel trusses laying on the ground. I built that church from the get-go. We finished it up. But can I tell you something? That small work in Dyersburg, City Gate Dyersburg, there were 3 or 4 years that we put $200,000 a year missions money into the Navajo Indians. Out of that work up there and out of Purpose to the Nations, we built 110 churches out there across that reservation. I mean, a little bit. You don't have to be big to be significant. But you got to receive this seer's mantle. Let me tell you what it'll do. It will cause you to see the potential in people's life. It'll cause you to see what God is going to supply, not the lack that you have. It will cause you to be able to see things in the spirit and know things and give warnings. You know what? Just the other day, I got a text from Kathy, and a gunman went on Jenna. Goes to school, was on the with that. Let me just share with you. If we'll get our kids raised up and catch the seer's anointing, they're going to see it before it happens. You got time for 1 2-minute story. Susan and I were in a prophetic conference with Paul Daugherty, Victory Fellowship, Little Rock, Arkansas, years ago. They have a seer in that church, and he's really a seer. But we walked into the building the next morning, and you could feel death in the building. We didn't know what was wrong. I looked at him and said, "Ooh, what is that?" And we went in there, and everybody's weeping and crying in the sanctuary, and it was bad. And a little girl that was 4 years old named Destiny had been kidnapped out of her bedroom during the night. Family didn't have any idea where she was at. And we prayed all day. And about after lunch that time, this seer went to the FBI. Went to the police. They let him talk to the FBI. And this is what he prophesied. "You won't find the little girl in the mother's house of the man who took her. And you won't find her in the cabin that's out in the woods beyond the mother's house. You'll find her out in the woods beyond the cabin." The only clue they had was somebody, the person that did, lost their cap. Cap had a certain, I don't remember what it was, name on it. You know, not his name, but, with that. And somebody had seen a guy driving around in a vehicle. And they ran the vehicle, kind of like this guy that killed the policeman in Texas. You know, they had a vehicle, and they ran the vehicle, and they've now got the guy. They found Destiny that night about 9 o'clock. They went to the guy that had been seen in the cap. They ran the plates down. They went to his mother's house. He wasn't there. They found the cabin in the woods beyond his mother's house. He was there stoned, but the little girl wasn't there. But they found her out in the woods. He had gotten so stoned on meth, he'd never touched her. The worst thing had happened to her. He'd stripped her off and took her out there to die. The mosquitoes had, if you ever been to Arkansas in the summer, They carried her to the hospital. They're checking her out, everything with that. And they finally let family get in to see her. And one of them said to her, said, "Destiny, wasn't you scared out there in those old dark woods?" And that little girl looked up and said, "No, I wasn't." And they said, "Well, why weren't you scared?" And she said, "Because my Nana was with me the whole time. God had called an angel to look like her grandmother and to be with her." You say, "Why did you tell this story, Apostle?" I don't care what you're going through. Don't get into fear over your children. Don't get into fear about this. Don't get with that. I'm telling you, God can be trusted. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strong.